retirement provisions, because there are currently a minimum of six other bills out that all sound equally forceful. Leds had, I mean, PERS started during this interim with a subcommittee to study the issue, which is very complicated of police and fire status. And one of the issues that would be in an interim study that would be dealt with very, it's a complicated issue that would be dealt with in an interim study, is the business of going from a dangerous job to a non-dangerous job, and the potential even within current police and fire status employees of distinguishing between those that are, the issue that Senator Roberts brought up, that are more dangerous and not, and there are multiple ways of doing that. For instance, classification coding could distinguish those kinds of more dangerous jobs from others. And for that reason, and the Legislative Fiscal Office's analysis is that they would rather have an interim study conducted to resolve the issues of who should be in police and fire. You've got the issue of whether a policeman formally certified or a policewoman formally certified goes to any other agency into a non-dangerous job. Are they going to take, because they had their police and fire before with them, to that other agency? Just a lot of different issues. Yeah. And so,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I have heard Senator Trost's comments early on, and I'm sort of rethinking that maybe I like the idea of, I think it was Senator Hannon's amendment, that maybe we should just narrow the universe at this point. And I guess a question I have to ask, has a study begun, or is that anywhere that we know such a study is going to happen, or has it merely been discussed?
Senator Roberts, Representative Peterson, it is my understanding that it will be conducted this interim. And one of the reasons is because of inconsistencies that have been discovered within existing agencies over the strictness, or on the opposite side, the lackness,
yeah,
in terms of letting people in.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning in favor of the additional words that were suggested, keeping this universe very narrow. And then after that study, if we have to go back and make further changes, do it then.
That's part of the whole reclassification system as you look at that?
Representative Van Vliet, I believe this occurred separately, and it may very well have been out of the number of bills that came in, and as executive staff started looking at it, they discovered that there was inconsistencies currently, and it became very difficult to decide what would be appropriate to let in and to exclude.
Out of the
Senator Hannon introduced this bill last time.
Right.
The number of us saw it. We don't know what it takes to prompt this kind of a study.
Not for me to sponsor, probably.
Mr. Chairman,
I appreciate the interim study, and I certainly support that. I think that Representative Peterson's comments, if the committee wants to insert, Mr. Chairman, there on line 35, who is certified on or before the effective date of this act, we narrow it down somewhat. And we still address the nine people. But I feel that this, to confuse it with all the other groups that are trying to get included in PERS for whatever reason, or transfer of employment, or whatever, I think those are all valuable requests and should be considered at the appropriate time. But to say that this one perhaps should be, excuse me, withheld pending the outcome of the study on those things, those people were not moved by legislative fiat in most cases. And so that's where I come down a little different on this act, and recognize that I think it would be very beneficial for PERS to do the interim study in the exec.
Mr. Chair, I would like to offer that amendment, or I don't
All
know
right.
if it's already
we
been
could,
accepted.
We could do this if the committee wants to go along with a limitation. Something to this effect: the employees of a law enforcement data system employed prior to, and we insert the effective date of the transfer, and who were certified under ORS, etc., and are not classified. So that would limit it to these particular individuals who were transferred at that time. And I think that would not necessarily impinge upon a broader study of when a police chief gets promoted off the street up to chief of police, he should lose his benefits.
My guess is, though, that if we do that and they hire additional people who are equally as well-trained and they leave a position where they've been classified as this and they come to accept this employment, we're going to get us a bill to add them to this.
It might very well be, and we'll consider it on its merits.
Yeah, right.
We may have the study by that time.
Yeah, let's hope we have the study. Let's also hear maybe what the other groups are that want this to occur. What other groups? We're setting a precedent here, or we're not setting, we're continuing a precedent.
Well, this is involuntary.
We do this selectively. You know, what are the other groups that...
Well, I don't think we're going to have any more PERS bills before us that extend benefits to additional groups.
Okay. Well, okay. But I just want to know what the other groups are that want them. Can I ask that?
Sure. Well, if you have a list of...
Do we know?
I don't know that we have that information.
I know that juvenile probation, let me see, we have...
Volunteer firefighters.
We have volunteer firefighters. We have...
Forestry employees.
Forestry employees whose primary responsibility is the fighting of fires. Juvenile probation and parole officers employed in the supervision of juvenile offenders.
Teachers at state institutions.
Teachers at juvenile trainings. Police officer employees of juvenile training schools.
Legislator spouses.
Employees of the mental health division.
Those are mostly to be included in more dangerous classifications and not filling... Normally, we have a lot of bills where certain groups want to buy in because they were left out so many years and they want to come back in. These seem to be more changing classification to be included into the...
Yes, these are identifying people who, it is alleged, run the same risk as do police officers and ought to therefore have benefits similar to police officers or firemen. That's the
That really plays into the study issue of what needs to be really determined.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah. Is there any objection to this limiting amendment in context? We'll have it drafted. Do you want to pass out the bill now?
Sure.
All right.
Pass it out.
Is there objection? If there's no objection, then we will recommend Senate Bill 711 to the full committee with amendments drawn by legislative council consistent with the limitations suggested in lines 35, 36. No objection. All right. Now, let's see if we can take care of 2049. Well, we started on it. I don't know.
No.
Oh, that's the big change.
That's the so-called housekeeping bill. Did we go through all of that?
I think we had about a page or so to go. And then the issue of the conflict of interest.
All right. Do you know where we ended? Peggy thinks we only had another page or so to go.
All right, let's... Do we want to pick up where we left off? Is that what you'd like to...
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Page 20.
For the record, Don Andrews pose. I think we're on section or page... let's go to where we finished up on page 20. That was one of the issues we got into. It was addressed earlier by Elizabeth.
That was the
Kathleen,
qualifying service.
Right. And we've talked about
service.
That.
All right.
Then on page 21, section 13 is just, you know, when's it going to go into play? Section 14 is appealing 237.303 and 237.305, which was earlier language we discussed on where we can go to the employer to collect data, and there is the penalties. Yep. That brings it all into one paragraph and eliminates duplication here. So that's just a cleanup. We have that in 237.301 as previously amended. Section 15 was an amendment that came out of the House Labor Committee which impacts on members of the Legislative Assembly, who is receiving a pension and annuity under ORS 237-145, shall be eligible to participate as a retired state officer in one of the group plans. So this is dealing with your health insurance elections that you may have that was presented.
Mr. Chairman, why was that needed to be changed? Because ordinarily now, as state employees, we were covered under previous legislation that allowed us to, regardless of where you are, to be continued on in your health plan. Did legislators need a special paragraph on that? I had assumed that that was true anyway.
The State Employees Benefits Board, Mr. Chairman, Representative Van Fleet, is not a long suit for me, but it was within their guidelines or within their statutes that precluded that retired legislative member. And we did have a special legislation some sessions back which allowed a legislator to continue drawing their benefit and work in the Legislative Assembly. But it precluded them, while working, being able to get the retired coverage under SIP. And this is to clean up their health insurance rights. It has nothing to do with PERS.
So what it actually does is to allow them to pick the thing up, even though they've been excluded from it for a period of time while they're in the legislature, right. Allows them to pick it up after they retire.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Section 17. That's an aside. I'll ignore that. Section 17 adds to Chapter 243, Oregon Revised Statutes. In Section 18, this is a at the request of the Department of Higher Education to provide statutory authority to continue picking up or paying that portion that higher ed pays into the TIA CREF program that is available to certain higher eds. It's not the monies that are paid into PERS, but the contributions that are picked up. I would defer to the representative from higher ed to give any clarification on that amendment, if we may.
Is there anybody here from higher ed?
Let's hear with that. That's an interesting one, because that's been a very debatable one.
Senator Roberts, members of the committee, Ron Anderson from the Higher Education Personnel Division. This particular amendment was suggested by the Attorney General's office. Working on another project with the Attorney General office, Elizabeth Stockdale, she was of the opinion that we do not have specific statutory authority to pick up the retirement contribution for those faculty members who elect TIA CREF in lieu of PERS. 79, when the law was changed to allow employers to pick up that contribution, it was simply assumed that that also applied to TIA CREF. But Ms. Stockdale's opinion that the law does not specifically authorize that pickup, although we have been doing it since 1979. So,
okay, now, as a victim of that, what's that mean to people who were in TIA CREF way back in those old days, got in, were in for a certain number of years? Mm-hmm. Now PERS uses a formula as to what the salaries were at that time, the amount that you were in TIA CREF, and even though you were paying $4,800 base money into PERS, what's that amendment do to those folks? Does it cause a recalculation, or is it a continuation on now for people who want to pay into TIA CREF?
It does not affect benefits in any way. It's simply a continuation.
Legalizes the status quo.
Legalizes what you're doing now and taking money out for those people that want to send it to that program. You can do so in place of PERS. Is that right?
Or that's correct, Representative.
Is there any jeopardy for those that you've been taking it out for before it was strictly legal? Is there any problem?
Senator Scholl, that was not addressed. The recommendation was simply that we ought to clean it up at this point, and there was no discussion of any problem for those who are already participating.
I should declare a conflict of interest. I'm now eligible for an annuity from CREF at $15 a year, I think.
Wow.
You and me both, right? You were in and out after 5 years. No risk system, that's.
And they won't let me take it out. I
hope so.
No. No.
What is it?
Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I'd like to bring you back, if I can, to page 3.
Uh-oh.
Here it is, 11 o'clock. All right. This was one we had a question about.
At your request,
yeah.
I believe committee staff is passing out a redraft of subsection 5 to ORS 237.011 dealing with an exclusion for students.
So the clarifying language really is no person employed by a participating employer and defined by such employer as a student employee may become a member of the system for such student employment.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fine.
And did that clear up the issue?
Yes.
Yes. Very good. Yeah. We're comfortable with that.
Is there any objection to that amendment then? That amendment then is adopted. And the other question is we had an explanation of the conflict amendments. Is there any objection to the conflict amendments? If not, they're adopted. And Senator Stroll, yes.
As I'm moving this bill to the full committee as amended with the due pass recommendation, may I say again that my little obiter dictum statement last week about the importance in housekeeping of also making sure that we get the beneficiaries attended to in a timely fashion and not extending the time it takes for them to get their benefits or calculations should be attended to.
What's the status of the bill on the first check?
2986.
It's, I believe,
on the agenda.
Oh, it is?
It's on the agenda.
Okay.
Whether that one passes or not, I think that really needs to be done, and you know, I don't know whether you considered whether or not
you can include in your amendment here. I mean, your motion here, the other bill.
Well, let's have a hearing on it first.
Senator Stroll moves that we send House Bill 2049 as amended to the full committee with a recommendation to be adopted. All right.
That's fine. I still want to make my
point. Any objection to that motion?
My point is that I also want them to consider if they're holding people's money for an indelicate amount of time that they pay them interest on the money that they're holding.
We're going to deal with that.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Jeff, will you carry 2049?
Sure. I think we ought to have some testimony on this one because it's an important one to people out in the field, but at the same time puts into statute something that may not be able to be adhered to the precise thing. Whenever you put something like this, what happens if you go 63 days? But I'd like to hear the comments of how close we are to reaching this in reality.
Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I have citizen defense because
wasn't on this list.
Interim subcommittee and the emergency board that dealt with this, we kept chewing on them. And they were supposed to bring their computer system online. And they're in the process of bringing that computer system online. And there was some transition going on in the department. So in defense of the agency, granted there were some real problems, but I think they are trying to take some corrective action.
I didn't have that bill here because it wasn't on our list. Was it published as
I don't know, I have it here.
It was out here, but I didn't see it outside.
It wasn't on this list.
Oh.
Okay. I'll put it on. I'll make sure that it gets on the next list.
All right.
List.
Okay. I see a copy of it.
Yes.
And, I didn't have it here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, following on Senator Hannon's comments, there will be times that the agency will not be able to make an accurate payment within 62 days because there are all kinds of circumstances out there that can delay a payment that have nothing to do with the timeliness of PERS's response. You know, they could be normally sending out checks in 30 days, and there would always be circumstances where they would not be able to send them out in 62. When we have a hearing on that bill, I think that there are provisions that I think that if that they would have to send it out on an estimated basis, but then that has fiscal impact provisions or consequences. Excuse me. But I'll make sure that gets on the agenda.
All right, we'll have a we'll. Let's do it officially for a year.
People can't go much longer.
Sure, we have to underestimate them.
Sir?
No.
All right.
Just trying to listen.
House Bill 2987 was not listed on our official agenda, so we'll pick it up in the next possible.
Okay.
Possibility.
I'll try not to be disappointed, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we'll We'll put that on for tomorrow along with the other than, other bills that will be heard tomorrow and.
Are we done?
Yeah, subcommittee is, I mean, the, yeah, salary subcommittee is there. Can't remember what.